Kim Weaver's director of external affairs, the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. And I imagine you're pretty happy about a bill that you and your colleagues advocated for at the TSP. And that is that auto enrollees will now go into the appropriate life cycle fund. You've been at the TSP, have been pushing for that for a long time, right, Kim?
We have. We're really pleased. We sent the legislation up earlier this year, and it was introduced on both sides. And both sides, the Senate and the House, had approved their respective bills, and it was just a matter of getting one or the other through the other side. And last week, that finally happened, and so it's on its way to the president. And that means that next fall, we will start when a new employee is hired and they are auto-enrolled. If they choose not to make their own investment choice or amount, they'll be auto-enrolled at 3% into the age-appropriate life cycle fund. And we really think that this is a big step forward for our participants.
And how will you decide that? For example, I'm 49, so if I went to work for the government tomorrow, what's the procedure that you'd follow if I was not to make my own election?
That's why we're going to take until October. We're going to have to look at each of the funds, and it's already on our website. Sort of, if you're this age, look at this, you should look toward this life cycle fund. But we need to make all the programming changes to do exactly that, to say, okay, Francis is 49. He belongs in the L2020 fund. This person's 21. They would go into the L2050 fund. And, of course, you're always going to have the June 30th and the July 1st cutoff date, you know, those kinds of things. So that's what we're going to be working on to program and to move people into the right fund.
What will you have to do behind the scenes to get that ready, besides what you just mentioned a moment ago? Those are some of the logistics of it. What else has to happen to get you ready for that, Kim?
It is informing the payroll offices. In this case, don't really have to do anything because they already transmit to us, Francis is a new federal employee, here's his information, and blah, blah. So for them, it's not a change. It really is on our side that when we get that information, we funnel it into the right fund. So it's not, I don't want to say it's easy, mm-hmm. because our IT guys would come and bludgeon me.
but rightfully so.
Exactly. But it is not one of the more complicated projects. It doesn't have anything on Roth TSP, for example.
Uh-huh.
But we do have to update our communications information. We have to update our website. So everywhere we talk about auto enrollment, all of that has to be changed to reflect the new fund that you're auto-enrolled into.
Do you have any sense of how that might impact auto-enrollment? Because I wonder if there will be folks who would have seen that they were going to go into the G fund, for example, and go, I don't really like that. This life cycle fund looks like it's more for me. And now they see that's the possibility, and they go, I'll just leave it how it is.
You know, I have not seen any research on that, either for us or sort of in the 401k population. I get the sense, but I wouldn't swear to it. I get the sense that the people who are auto-enrolled aren't even paying attention to it that much. I think if you've gone to the trouble of saying the life cycle fund's probably for me, you're making an affirmative decision to contribute. But as I said, I haven't seen anything definitive on that one way or the other.
Kim Weaver of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, the Thrift Savings Plan. We will learn more about the auto enrollment as it continues. There's a benefit there, too, though, I imagine, for the agencies, because it's just one less thing for them to worry about and one less thing for them to work with their employees on when the onboarding process is happening.
They still have to provide the information to
sure.
the participant, because you still, I mean, it would be in my, you want the participant, auto-enrolling someone at 3%, they're still leaving money on the table. That's a different discussion that we're going to have sort of down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in a perfect world, a new employee is enrolling themselves at 5%, so they're not leaving any of the employer match on the table. So there's still that conversation that the payroll offices, the HR offices need to have with the new participants, but this does sort of take some of the worry, maybe too strong a word, but some of the concern that people are making unwise choices and just sitting in the G fund.
You're a pro. You anticipated my next question, which is the 3% issue the money on the table issue, the agencies will still have to educate their people that, hey, if you go for 5%, you actually get 10%. Is that something that the TSP wants to address again with legislation at some point in the future, or is that something that you'll continue to leave to the agencies and the individuals to decide?
That we don't need legislation for. When the auto enrollment bill was passed, it gave our executive director the ability to auto enroll someone between 0 and 5%. We could pick a number. We couldn't auto-escalate, so we couldn't do 3%, 4%, 5%.
Yes.
But we could change the regulation and say that the auto-enroll would be at 5%. Our concern is we would want to get input from ETAC, the Employee Thrift Advisory Council, made up of the federal and postal unions and management associations, because federal employees, as you know, they're paying more for their FERS defined benefit. There's been furloughs, sequestrations, and there's concern about that payroll dollar and how far it can stretch.
Yeah.
So that's a decision we might get to, and we're looking at, but we haven't done any of the necessary spade work to really put that memo before ETAC yet and get their opinion.
And, you know, that makes sense, because when I say it moved from 3% to 5%, it doesn't sound like that much. And yet, when you really consider it, it's almost doubling the contribution that the employee's making. And if it's an employee at the lower end of the scale and they're newer to the government, that might make a difference in their lives.
That's exactly right. And what we wouldn't want to do is raise it to the point where someone opts out entirely.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Kim, you hit a milestone, I learned, from this meeting at the Thrift Savings Plan with your Roth TSP plan.
We did. As of the end of November, we now have $2 billion invested in Roth TSP accounts, and we have more than 450,000 Roth TSP accounts, which, you know, we just rolled that out in May of 2012. We expected that it would be attractive to certain of our population, but it has been very attractive, and as we anticipated, the Uniformed Services is the group that has most taken up. Uniformed Services participants hold 49.5% of these Roth accounts. And you think, well, that's only half. But when you think about it, we have 700,000 Uniformed Service members contributing to the TSP, and we have more than 2 million FERS participants contributing to the TSP.
Wow.
So the fact that half of the Roth TSP accounts belong to that smaller population really shows sort of how lopsided the attraction is for Uniformed Services, which is what, as I said, we anticipated. For lower, younger, lower-paid people, the tax deferral of the TSP is not as attractive because you're not deferring that much tax, so you don't have to worry about that much tax. But being able to put in after-tax money that can grow for 30 years is really quite attractive.
Yeah, it's a pretty striking number when you portray it that way, Kim, because you've got 25% of your participants as uniformed military personnel, but half of them make up the Roth TSP participants. That's
exactly.
Really something.
So, this is moving along nicely. It was an enormous project for us and the payroll offices. And we're really quite pleased that it has paid off for us and for our participants.